So welcome back to Peter's Railway. Last year we made a film about how to light the fire, raising steam in a locomotive, getting ready for a run. Today's film is about how you actually drive the engine, what all the controls in the cab do to make the engine go forwards, backwards, faster, slower, and how to look after the boiler. So the engine's not had a run yet, so the cylinders are cold, so my first thing to do is to warm the cylinders up with some steam. So I'm going to open the drain valves, which is here, open the drains, and then I'm going to let a little bit of steam through to the cylinders, and that will start to warm the cylinders up, and you'll see the condensed steam turning back into water and coming out of the drains. So I'm going to just crack the regulator open. So that's the steam going into the cylinders to warm them up, and it's condensing back into water, and the valve must be open to this end of the cylinder, so it's allowing the steam in that end and some of the water's coming out there. In a moment, when it's warmed up a bit, you'll see some steam coming out. I've got the brakes on the engine, it's in mid-gear, so it won't come to any harm. It shouldn't take off without me. So I'll open the regulator a bit more to warm up the cylinders. So here we are, filling the tender with water from the little water tower that I made many years ago. So the tender is now as full of water as you could possibly wish it to be, and amazingly, I haven't spilt a lot this time. So the first control I want to look at is the regulator. So that's this lever here, and this allows steam to go from the boiler to the cylinders to operate the pistons to drive the engine. So if I open it, the engine will move. More steam is this way. And then shutting off the steam is that way. The next control I want to look at is the reverser. So the reverser is this control here, and at the moment it's set in forwards gear, and if I wind that a few times and wind it into reverse gear, so we're now in reverse gear, and now if I open the regulator again, we will, I hope, go backwards. Shutting the regulator, we'll coast to a stop. So that's the valve gear in mid gear, and if I wind reverse forwards into full forwards gear, that's where the die block is being moved in the expansion link. So that's now in full forwards gear. If I open the regulator a touch, the engine will move forwards. If I put the reverse gear, moving the die block to the top of the expansion link, then I can let a bit of steam to the cylinders and we'll move backwards. But the reverser does more than just allow you to select forwards or reverse. So when the driver starts off the train at slow speed, he will have the engine in full forwards gear. And when he gets moving a little bit faster and needs less drawbar pull on the train, he will then start to link up or notch up using the reverser. So he's going to wind it back towards mid-gear a little bit, and so that will be part way back towards mid-gear. And the effect of that is that the engine will pull less hard, but it will use less steam and so less coal. So as you notch up or link up, you're developing less power in the engine, but it runs more efficiently. It's called linking up because you're moving the reversing gear up that expansion link. That's the expansion link there. It's also called notching up because on goods engines, which went backwards and forwards a lot, they had a pole reverser and with little notches on it, and you could set it to full forwards gear or bring it back a notch. So it's called notching up or linking up. So here's the brake valve here, and so it's got two brakes in this engine. There's a steam brake, so if I pull that back, it will put the steam brake on the engine. And there's also a vacuum brake. So this is a combined steam and vacuum brake valve. And so that took me 3 months to make. That might be the subject of another video, how it all works. But essentially, that's the brakes off. And when you pull it back here, the more you pull it back, the harder the brakes go on. If you look at the back of the engine, on the back here, we've got the connection to the train for the vacuum brakes. But none of my train has got any vacuum brakes fitted to it. So I never actually use the vacuum brakes on the engine. If you look at, if you look down here at the brake shoes, that's the brake shoes off at the moment, and I can push the engine. If I put the brakes on, it stops it. So that's the steam brake working there. It's quite effective, the steam brake, because the engine's pretty heavy, and there's also the steam brake on the tender wheels, and of course I'm sitting on the tender, so there's quite a decent bit of weight to stop the train, but there's no brakes on the rest of the train at all. So we'll set off downhill here. It's a little bit downhill, so it'll tend to coast, and then we'll put the brakes on and see what happens. Drains are open because we've been sitting for a while. Close the drains. Now I'm going to put the brakes on a little bit. Takes a while for them to come on. That's just touching them on a bit. And I'm going to put them on firmly now. That was definitely a stop. We've not got full boiler pressure at the moment. That's a thing to watch out for, because the engine will get going perfectly effectively and at quite a good speed with not very much boiler pressure, but the brakes are rather less effective, which can be a little bit alarming at times. You think, oh, I'll just put the brakes on now, and very little happens. So the other brake I mentioned is the handbrake, which is this one here. So the driver will just wind that on. So that's the handbrake on now. That just works on the tender. And so the correct way to leave the engine is in mid-gear. So we'll wind the reverser back to mid-gear. The drains are open and the regulator shut. If someone was to open the regulator, which they shouldn't do if they're not in charge of the engine, if they were to open the regulator, nothing happens. Steam comes out of the drains, some comes out the chimney, I know, and the engine doesn't move. The other reason for leaving the drains open is that if the regulator is leaking a little bit of steam past the regulator towards the cylinders, then if the drains aren't open, the pressure could build up, and that would then maybe make the engine move when you weren't expecting it. So the correct procedure is brake on, drains open, mid-gear, and regulator closed. And then the engine's safe. So we've got a fire, we've got steam pressure, we've got water in the boiler, so we better go for a drive. So, full forwards gear. Drains open. Little toot on the whistle. And off we go. Just a touch of regulator. The engine's got cold, so I'll leave the drains open for a moment. Link up a little bit. Close the drains, and we're off. To go too fast, we're about to come to the points, onto the turning loop. Little touch on the brakes. Steam back on, we're going up the gradient now. Now we need a bit of fire. Coal on the shovel. Let's try and get it in the hole. That's not so easy when you're driving. Another one. Shut the door. So for the fireman, one of the important controls is the blower. And this is the valve that controls the steam blower. So that is off at the moment. That is on, you can hear it running. And what the steam blower does is it sends a little jet of steam up the chimney, starting in the smoke box here. And as the jet blows up the chimney, it makes a small reduction in pressure in the smoke box, and that draws the fire through the boiler to make the steam. And that is important when the engine's not running, because when the engine's driving, the exhaust steam from the cylinders blows up the chimney. You hear it chuffing away, and the chuffs, that partial vacuum, the reduced pressure in the smoke box, is what draws the fire through the boiler and draws the air through the fire to make it blow. But when you're sitting stopped like this, then if you didn't have a steam blower, the fire would eventually go out on you. So you can see quite clearly in here, the blower is off at the moment. We've got a good fire because I've just put lots of coal in. So if I look in here, the fire's looking a bit dull at the moment. And if I turn the blower on, it'll start to brighten up very quickly. So you can see a demonstration of the draft through the fire hole door at the moment. If I drop some leaves here, just go straight into the fire. If I turn the blower off, you can see the fire goes lazy. And if I drop some bits of leaves now, they'll just drop on the floor. So that's the blower valve. And you use it to keep the fire going or to raise steam when the engine's not moving. When the engine is moving, the exhaust steam from the cylinders creates the draft, and here you can see each beat pulling on the fire.
Try and go quite slowly. If I go too fast, you won't see it.
So I've just been stirring up the fire a little bit. It's got a bit lazy and probably a bit clogged up with muck underneath it, so I'll use the pricker just to get some of the ash raked out through the bottom into the ash pan. It is hot in there, but it's not making a lot of steam just at the moment. That'll get it going. Oh, I think you can tell it's hot when you see that the firing iron is glowing in the daylight. So another tool that the fireman had was a coal pick. Sometimes the coal would appear in such big lumps that it was really difficult to handle. So the fireman could smash it up, or there was a sharp pick, he could break large lumps of coal into smaller bits, and then he could get them into the firebox. Another control the fireman has to manage the fire is the damper door on the ash pan. So let's look underneath the engine and have a look at that. So now you're looking up through the ash pan door, or the damper, underneath the grate with the fire on it. So you should be able to see the fire glowing quite nice and hot in there at the moment. So that's the damper open, and that's the damper shut. So the fireman would close the door if he wanted to get the fire to burn less fiercely. So the fireman would adjust where the damper is. So there's a little ratchet, he can set it any height he wants. So that would be fully open for maximum heat from the fire. So apart from the fireman's obvious job of keeping the fire going to make the steam, his most important function really is to ensure that the water level in the boiler stays correct. Too low and you risk an explosion, too high and you can end up with water being carried over with the steam to the cylinders, which could damage something. And he obviously has to put water into the boiler quite regularly to make up for the water that's being used up to make the steam. So in the cab we've got two water gauges which show the water level in the boiler. You can just see the water in the tube there bouncing about a little bit. So that tells us the water level in the boiler. So there's a couple of important things on these. One is you can see the water level. We've got a blowdown valve there to make certain there's no muck in the gauge, which is giving us false reading. So I can open that and shut it, and then it comes back up again. So that blows any muck or scum that's on the surface there. And you can then see you're getting a true reading. The other thing you've got is there's a shut-off valve at top and bottom of each of the gauges. And so the top one, well, we can shut them both off like that. And now, if we open the blowdown valve It's no longer connected to the boiler. And what we can do, we can test that both passages are completely clear of obstructions. So if I open the top one, you'll hear steam going down through the gauge and through the blowdown. And if I open the bottom one, it sounds completely different because that's water and steam going down from the under the water level in the boiler. So what we'll do is we'll shut the blowdown valve, open that, and we'll now we can say that the gauge has been tested and that both passages, top and bottom, from the boiler are clear. And we have a second water gauge in case there's a problem with this one. Another thing we can say is that you've got the tube with the water in it, but there's also a gauge glass protector, which protects the driver and fireman in case the glass tube breaks, so that rather contains all the scalding steam and water while they shut off these two valves to shut off the supply to the broken glass gauge. So when the fireman wants to put more water into the boiler to replace the water that was used to make the steam, then he uses special pumps called injectors, which are under the cab, and the injectors pump the water from the tender into the boiler against the steam pressure. The first thing he does is to open the little valve down here. This is the driver's side. He's got one on his side as well. There's always two injectors on engines. So if he opens the water valve, you can see the water now running through the injector. And then there's a steam valve up here, and that's the steam supply to the injector. So the farmer would then open the steam supply, and as he opens it, first of all, the steam starts to push the water through the injector faster, but it's not got enough impulse or force yet, or pressure, to force its way into the boiler against the steam pressure. But as you put on more steam, the injector is now feeding water into the boiler. The injectors are sort of a magic device because there's no moving parts, and it's taking steam from the boiler and it's pushing water into the boiler against the same pressure. But we'll talk about how injectors work another day. In a moment, we'll have 3/4 of a glass, which is just perfect for running. It's not too low and it's not in danger of causing the engine to prime, which is taking water over with the steam. One thing you can notice in the water gauge is behind the glass tube, there's a little striped panel. And it's now very easy to see whether the tube is full or empty of water, because you can see how the stripes change direction through the water. It's an optical effect. And that's very important because if the water gauge was completely full of water or completely empty, it's quite difficult to see what the level is. Is it full or empty? It's quite easy to see it when you can see the water in the glass. But those stripes save you thinking, oh, the gauge is completely full of water, when in fact it was completely empty. On a railway, when you're going on different gradients up and down hills, when you're going downhill, the water runs to the front of the boiler and then the level here seems to drop. And when you're going uphill, the water slops to the back of the boiler and the gauge level rises. And the fireman has to be very constantly aware of where they are on the railway, so that if he has got a slightly low water level and the fire's working hard as they're climbing up a long hill, when they go over the summit and start nosing down the other side, then suddenly his water level can disappear down into the bottom nut here, and it's a bit alarming because if he gets the water level too low, he can damage the firebox. So here we've got the safety valves on the boiler. These are absolutely vital because if you keep making more and more steam and the pressure's going to keep going up and up, eventually you'd have a boiler explosion. So the safety valves are a sprung-loaded valve. There's a spring inside pushing a plunger down to seal onto the hole in the top of the boiler. And when the boiler pressure gets too great, it pushes the plungers up and lets the dangerous pressure steam out. So at the moment, the safety valves are seated downwards, not leaking. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the blower valve a bit and build up the boiler pressure. So if you look in here, at the moment the boiler pressure is about 100 pounds per square inch. When he gets up to the red line, the safeties will start to lift. And so that happens. So that safety is lifting at about 110 pounds per square inch. If we keep making more and more steam, now it's sounding quite angry. And in a moment, the other one will lift as well. We go. So one of the things that's really important is it doesn't matter how much fire I've got in there, how much I've got the blower on, the boiler pressure must not rise very much more than the set amount. So the safety valves must be able to cope with the amount of steam that the boiler can make, in the worst possible condition. Maximum fire, maximum blower. So, if I put the blower on a bit more, if you look in here, the pressure gauge is now up at the red line, and the safety valves are keeping the pressure from rising any higher. We've got plenty of water in the boiler, so I'm not in any danger. And the pressure gauge has got to the red line at 120 pounds per inch, and it doesn't matter how much I put the blower on or how much coal I put on, the safety valves can cope with that amount of steam that it's making. A little look through the cab window. So you might enjoy looking at the driver and fireman's mugs for cups of tea, and there's the little tea can. Very important to have engine driver's tea when you're out on the railway. Cheers. So now we're going to go for a little drive round the line, and you'll see the things I'm trying to do while we're going. So we've got plenty of steam, the safeties are lifting. We've got plenty of water in there, that's fine. We've got a reasonable fire now. I think what I'll do before we start, I'll put a little bit of coal in the fire. Put four shovelfuls in, damn the expense. Full forge gear, open the regulator a little bit. We have some drains are open, so we have some steam at the front visible as we start. A little bit of water coming out because the cylinders are cooled down while we've been talking, looking at the controls in the cab. So off we go up the line. So now I'm going to shut the drains. And now that we're moving, I'm going to notch up a little bit, link up. So I've done that. We don't need a lot of power here. You can just see the steam chest pressure gauge. If I open the regulator more, that goes up, and you can hear it working harder. I'm slowing down for a point. So here we go around the top turning loop. See, the water level's dropped a little bit because the engine's going downhill. So it's downhill at the moment. Now we're going to start going uphill, and I'm putting into full forwards gear. So we're on about a 1 in 50 up, and you'll see the water level's come up a lot now. We're up 1 in 50 going up now. Now we're going to go through the spring point. I'm going to shut the blower. I've left that open a bit. That's a mistake, really. I think what we'll do now, we've obviously got really a bit too much steam pressure. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open the water valve and open the injector steam valve. And we're going to put water in the boiler while we're running. That's it picked up. Right, so we're now feeding water into the boiler on the move. We are uphill here and a curve, so a little bit of steam pressure. Gently through these points and around the top turning loop. There's a lot to do because I've got to do the job of both the driver and the fireman on this engine. There isn't room for two of us. You can see the two little white dots on the lubricators moving round. So they're doing their job, oiling the main axle boxes and the cylinders with steam oil. So we're well notched up at the moment, well linked up. And as we get to the gradient, I'll start putting it more into forwards gear. So a longer cut-off. You hear the engine working now. That's full gear.
I keep adjusting the reverser to set the cut-off, so I thought it would be interesting to understand what's happening inside the cylinders when I do this.
So we were talking earlier on about how the reverser in the cab allows the driver to select forwards or reverse gear. So if I select full forwards gear now, like so, then I thought it would be interesting to see what is actually happening inside the cylinder. So I've got some diagrams here from Book 3, The Forgotten Engine. And so what's happening here is that the steam is coming from the boiler to into the cylinder to push on the piston. And as the piston is pushed by the steam, the valve is left open, so steam is coming in for more or less the whole stroke of the piston. And so the cutoff is almost 100% here. And the steam at the end, when it's let up the chimney, the waste steam, is still very hot and is at very high pressure. So it's very wasteful. However, if we link up a bit, we're going to reduce the cutoff. So I'm going to reduce the cutoff there. Now what's happening in the cylinder? The same at the beginning. The steam is coming into the cylinder from the boiler, but then very soon after the piston starts moving, the valve shuts the steam supply off. So now as the steam pushes the piston, it's expanding and its pressure is dropping and it's getting cooler. So by the time at the end of the stroke, when the steam is let up the chimney, it's quite cool and it's lost most of its pressure. So that is using less steam and using it more efficiently. We're getting work out of the steam to push the piston. I hope that was interesting, but now back to the footplate.
We've come up the gradient, we're gathering speed now, so now I'm going to start reducing the cutoff, linking up, and you can hear the exhaust note changes to a purr. Now we're using steam as efficiently as we can do.
It's a lovely motion, all the connecting rods and coupling rods moving in their rather lovely manner.
So I've gone into full gear there now, and this time when we've gone over the points, I'm going to open the regulator absolutely wide, and you'll see quite how much power this locomotive has got. Get over the points first. Now, quite an acceleration for a locomotive. Touch on the brakes. So I hope you've enjoyed this little film about what's involved in driving a steam locomotive. Bongo may only be 1/8 full size, but it's essentially exactly the same as driving a large engine. Bye-bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this film, please subscribe to our channel. It all helps to spread the word. Until the next time.